at centre, and coming in is Loeb. Milledyke centered it. Scores! Matty McDonald!
And over at that Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can't put it in the wind column!
Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, happy Wednesday. Let's get things going on this Wednesday, September 18th. It's Wednesday, September 18th. It's Steinberg, it's Vickers, and it's a mailbag hour of Flames Talk. It's the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Happy training camp, Vix.
Are you ready for this, buddy?
I think so.
Attaboy.
Penticton was my welcome to training camp.
It's where you really come together.
It does. We did come together, I think, in training camp in Penticton. Now, on the eve of main camp, with rookie camp now done, main camp starts Thursday at Winsport, and as we are on the eve of training camp, it just made sense. It's time to dive in on a Flames Talk mailbag at 960-960. We want your thoughts. We want your questions. Whatever. Line combinations, young players, rookies, goaltenders, waivers, whatever's on your mind ahead of training camp, let's get to it. Let's dive in on a Flames Talk mailbag. How do you participate? Well, if you're listening live, 960-960 on the text line. We'll try to get to as many questions as possible on our Flames Talk mailbag here on this Wednesday. Should we just dive in like we already
did? Oh, yeah.
We've got a ton already, so
let's get after it.
Dive right in. Denny is up first at 960-960. Denny from Standoff. Which player coming to camp has the most to prove in the 24-25 season? Most to prove.
For me, and I feel like the empty netter, or the obvious one, would be Jonathan Huberdeau after having back-to-back seasons that didn't necessarily live up to the expectations placed on him, particularly with his contract kicking in last season. But for me, I'm going to go a different way. I'm going to go Dustin Wolf, because all throughout his career, he's proved that he's ended up being too good for the league he's in, whether it was in the Western Hockey League. We certainly know his exploits in the American Hockey League, being a two-time goalie of the year and a one-time MVP. And the Calgary Flames, without a doubt, are looking for one of their three goalies coming into camp to establish themselves as a number one, or at least put themselves ahead of the other two when we're talking about Dustin Wolf, Dan Vladar, and Devin Cooley. So for me, I think it's time that the expectation go on Dustin Wolf to prove that he's an everyday NHLer. I'm not necessarily making the declaration that he needs to prove that he's a clear-cut number one, but the opportunity is going to be there for him. And every time that opportunity has been there for him, he seized it. So I'm going to put that on Dustin Wolf for this one.
My cop-out answer is Tyson Barrie. Because he literally is needing to prove himself to get a contract. That is my cop-out answer.
Okay.
My real answer, just to take it a little bit of a slightly different spin, I'll give you Connor Zary and Martin Pospisil. Can you prove that and I'm confident that the answer is yes, but can you prove that what last year wasn't just one season?
You've
done it as rookies in the NHL. Now what do you do as a sophomore? So I think yours is a great one. I like that one a lot in Dustin Wolf. Tyson Berry's an easy one. Jonathan Huberdeau is an easy one. But I'll go Zary and Pospisil as guys that also need to prove something. And again, not in like a bad way, but it's just another step in the journey, right?
Make sure that you're not just where you were last year when, I don't want to say they came out of nowhere, because each had a really strong showing with the Calgary Wranglers the first month of the AHL season. But the expectations go up now when you come into the NHL and you find the immediate success that pair did last season. How are you going to build on that? How are you going to get better on that? And we're going to see a situation in camp and maybe in the regular season where one of those two players are tried as a center. So, okay, you showed it as wingers last year. The Calgary Flames are devoid of under 33 centers that can play in a top nine role. So they've got a situation where they can prove not only that last year wasn't a fluke for them, but they can take their game to the next level, and potentially they can do it down the middle as well.
Okay. Are you ready for this one?
Oh, yes.
Paul and Chestermere. Gents, could you give us your opening night line combos for the 25-26 season? Oh, I thought this was for this year. Paul.
Paul, I don't have that much time.
Sorry, I thought it was 24-25.
You That's want a great question, though.
Down the opening night line combos for next season?
Oh.
The answer to that yes or no question is no. No, I cannot, Paul, because that's going to be bad radio.
You know what? That is not a cop-out answer because he did ask if we could.
I will say that here's just one. I'll give you one answer without giving you full online combinations for training camp 2025 and the 25-26 season. I think Matvei Gridin will be in the lineup.
Ooh, wow.
Yep.
That
not
quickly.
This year.
No.
But year two, I think Gridin's in.
I am going to go, if we're going to do sort of the prospect that we think will be a... Does this count as... So opening night lineup a year from now, I'm going to go William Stromgren.
Okay.
To just sprinkle in a little bit of the prospect talk on this question. Now, I do see a path where Stromgren plays some NHL games this year. I certainly don't expect him to be in the opening night lineup in three-ish weeks. But I'm going to go with Stromgren on the opening night for next year.
This reads, my question surrounds Tyson Barry. Does he make the team? If so, who does he block? I'll answer the second question first because I'll answer the second question partially with the first question. If he makes the team, he's blocking nobody because I think if he makes the team and gets a contract, it is an indicator that nobody is ready to jump in and be a full-time member of the top six. So whether that's Solovyov or Poirier or Parekh or anybody else that you might think about as potentially in that mix, I don't. If they sign Barry, I don't think he's blocking anybody. That being said, do I think they will sign Barry? Yes, I do think that he'll get a contract. I don't think that is set in stone, but if I were a betting man, I'd say yes, I think Barry does get himself a contract.
Yeah, I can't just sit here and say every time, well, we'll need to see how this plays out because that's not the nature of the game we're playing here. I say, yeah, I think Barry goes into camp, has a strong enough showing that he earns a contract, a one-year deal with the Calgary Flames. Who does that block? I don't see necessarily anybody from a role standpoint that Barry would block. And that I don't think they have a Jeremy Poirier who's ready to make the jump to fill that like QB or PP1 quarterback spot. I don't think that guy like Solovyov is going to be that guy. So while he may take a roster spot from a prospect like Solovyov, I don't think he's taking a role or he's taking a job from that type of player.
This one from Clyde. I like this one. What do you guys think of the possibility of Cooley getting at least 5 starts this season and then maybe pushing Vladar and tandeming with Wolf, a tandem with Wolf and Cooley? Not that I want to see Vladar gone, but is that something you guys think we see in the further future? Well, here's my answer to that. This is it for Vladar in terms of, you know, proving what he is or isn't with the Flames. He is on an expiring contract as a pending unrestricted free agent. This is his last year on this contract. And so I think there will be a lot of evaluation in terms of what Vladar's future is over the first few months of the season. And I think you got to give a little bit of grace because of the surgery situation, but I think there's going to be a lot of conversation about, you know, where does Vladar fit? Is he a guy that they want to re-sign and see as a part of the future? Is he a guy that maybe there's some interest in on the trade market into the new year and maybe they can flip for some sort of an asset, all those types of things. So my answer to you, Clyde, is yeah, I don't think that's out of the question that at some point, even this season, a tandem of Wolf and Cooley could be in the cards. If the way the Flames think of Cooley pans itself out, if Wolf continues to progress and certain things happen potentially with Vladar, whether it be he struggles or he's good and there's interest out there as a pending unrestricted free agent. Yeah, I could see that scenario coming into play.
If we're setting the line on Devin Cooley NHL starts for the upcoming season and you set the line at 4.5, I'm taking the over. I see a legitimate path in Cooley.
Yeah, and I also agree with that.
Cooley making some starts this season. And to your point about Dan Vladar, if he struggles, okay, it pretty much clearly outlines Vladar's future with the Calgary Flames. If he plays really well, then maybe you have a trade chip down the road. The Calgary Flames are still invested in Dan Vladar at this point. They did spend a 2022 third round pick on him. They've invested 3 years of development in him. They've been patient. They've obviously had to navigate some hip concerns that he's gotten cleared up, and we'll see how quickly he's able to bounce back from that, as you mentioned. But yeah, going back to Devin Cooley, you're setting that line at 4.5. I'm taking the over all day.
Stuart in the Beltline, do you think the Flames have a path to a playoff spot as a wild card? Honestly, yes, I think that there is, I don't want to say that my anticipation is them making the playoffs, but I do think there's a path for a lot of teams to surprise in what I think is going to be a pretty wide open Western Conference. Like, I don't think, if you take a look back at last year, I don't think Los Angeles is a shoe-in to be in there again. I don't think Nashville is a shoe-in to be in there again. And if I were to look at the other teams that missed the playoffs last year, the Flames, who ended up missing by 17 points, I think Calgary would still be lower down my list if I'm like, you know, which teams have the best chance of making. But I see a path for any of those non-playoff teams to surprise, similar to how the Flames surprised a decade ago in that find-a-way Flames year. So is there a path? Yes, because I don't think I have eight teams that I look at and say, I feel they're all going to make it. St. Louis, Minnesota, Seattle, I think those teams have better chance to be in playoff teams than Calgary. But I think there's a lot of ways that a team can surprise and make the playoffs in the West. I do believe that.
See, and I'll look at it a little bit different way, because I do see a team like the Los Angeles Kings maybe being not as good as they were last year. And we always see a team that struggles, that should be good and just isn't. And, you know, a head coaching change doesn't change the trajectory of their season. But I just look back over the last three seasons, the second wild card team in the Western Conference had 98 points, 95 points, and 97 points. So you're looking at roughly 96.5 points the Flames need to get to get a wild card spot. Respectfully, I look at this team and I don't know if I see a 96-point team that they'll ice. Now, you make a great point. Find a way, Flames, 14-15. I would say the exact same thing about that group that I would about this group. And you look at it on paper and you go, whew, they absolutely overachieved. And so I can't sit here and go, no, I don't see a path at all, because you don't have to look back too far 9 years ago to see a Flames team that probably had no business being in the playoffs, and they won a round in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So is there a path? Yes. Do I think it's likely? No.
That's a fair way of putting it. That's kind of where I'd be as well. Carl in Calgary says, is there a shot we see signees Schwint or Soloviev crack the lineup out of camp? I'm thinking forward spots are slim. Maybe Solo has a better shot. Of those two who the Flames signed earlier on Wednesday, all their RFAs are now signed, so nobody will be unsigned going into training camp, which we shouldn't be surprised by. None of these guys should have been camp holdouts.
There weren't a lot of leverage for them,
exactly,
from these two to hold out.
Precisely. I think Soloviev's the guy who's got the better chance. I think Schwint's in tough, just with Pelche and Lomberg and Rooney.
Hunt.
I think Schwint's in tough. The fact Schwint can play center might help him a little bit. And Schwint's case was helped last year, for instance, when Rooney went down. But I think that it'll be tough for Cole Schwint to be on this roster to start the year.
Yeah, I see it the same way.
Soloviev, on the other hand, I think he's the type of guy who, if he has a really good camp, maybe the Flames don't go down the Tyson Barry road and sign him to a contract.
I agree with you on the Schwint front, where he's competing with a whole host of guys, and he is benefited by the fact that he plays down the middle. So maybe you look at it a little more simple and go with Schwint versus Rooney for that fourth line spot. I don't look at it quite like that with all the other factors that are coming in, whether you got a Walker Dewar, a Dryden Hunt, so on and so forth. But Soloviev is intriguing to me. He just got a 2-year deal, so there's some faith from the organization there. But the other element is he requires waivers to be sent down. And we can talk about Devin Cooley and him needing waivers, and would the Flames chance that? I wonder if they'd chance that with Soloviev, who saw some NHL games. Some were better than others, but he showed some NHL potential there. Is he a name that they might try to sneak down when you see that 75 to 100 guys hit waivers at the same time? Or are they a guy that they would want to protect? I see a path more clearly for Soloviev to be maybe on the opening night roster, maybe not necessarily the opening night lineup. But I see a path for Solovyov that's a little bit clearer than Schwint.
Flamestock mailbag. Keep your text coming at 960-960. Read you this one from Dylan and Revy. Similar idea. This says, what do you guys think the realistic chances are of one of Brustevich, Kuznetsov, or Solo making the team out of camp? The Tenorti, Barry, and Hanley's might prove to be an impenetrable wall for these young guys if Barry is signed. They surely wouldn't have signed Tenorti just to waive him, right? Well, honestly,
not necessarily, from my perspective.
I think that if I really do believe if one or two of those names of those three, Brustevich is the most interesting. Brustevich might be the guy who would block a Barry from getting a contract due to similar skill sets and the way they'd be used. Solovyov's a little bit of a different player. You know, the last question we answered, Solovyov versus Schwint, the guys who were signed earlier on Wednesday. If you go Solovyov, Kuznetsov, and Brustevich, Brustevich is the most interesting one to me. But let me just paint you a picture. Say that Brustevich performs at camp and he's like, hey, like we got to put this guy on the roster. I absolutely think they'd put Tenorti in the American League if that was the way that they had to make room, or they wouldn't sign Barry if that was the way they had to make room, whatever the case may be. I think that that the Flames are very willing to make what might be deemed difficult decisions in the past. I don't think they'll be that difficult because I do believe that youth and the future will be prioritized when making some of these decisions. So, yeah, I think that there is a chance for one of those guys to be on the team. I don't see the likes of Tenorti, Barry, or Hanley being that, as Dylan phrased it, impenetrable wall. I don't think that exists anymore. I really don't. And maybe I'll be proven wrong on that, but just I've had enough conversations on and off mic with Craig Conroy and others making the decisions. I don't think that is anywhere near as much of a worry as it has been in the past.
It feels to me in conversations that I've had that, to a degree, Ty goes to the younger player. Ty goes to the guy you want to integrate into the NHL so that in 2 or 3 years they're hitting their peak and you're not holding a prospect back for the sake of a veteran. This isn't a Calgary Flames team that is prioritizing a Stanley Cup run right now. They're prioritizing the player development to put themselves in a position to be a year-in, year-out playoff contender, with the hopes that they can develop into a Stanley Cup contending team. So I don't imagine a Tenorti or a Hanley in particular are going to be even in the sort of the same realm of competition as a Brustevich or a Kuznetsov or a Solovyov. I don't imagine a scenario where you've got sort of journeyman NHL defensemen that may or may not be tweeners between the AHL and the NHL getting in the way of one of your young sort of stud-ish defenseman earning NHL time.
Ian and Cranbrook also wonders what our thoughts are on Brustevich making the team out of camp. I don't think it's fully out of the question. I really don't. Like, if I were to put odds on it or like a 50-50 tie, I would say probably like a 75-25 he starts in the American League. But if he continues the momentum that we saw from him at Young Stars, and if he continues to impress, look, we know he's got significant poise with the puck. We know his power play work and his offensive side of the game is strong. What I think we'll need to see is how he defends in NHL preseason games, and if that is something the Flames are comfortable with, odds are he's not going back to the Ontario League. I don't know what more Brustevich needs to prove in Major Junior. So he's going to be in pro hockey this year, just whether or not it's the Wranglers or Flames. I think he's got a chance. I would not say it is more likely than not, but I think there's a chance that he can make some noise in training camp. I was quite impressed with his kind of maturity and poise on the ice in the two games he played in Penticton.
If you even mention the fact that Brustevich is eligible for his overage year in the NHL, you get somewhat scoffed at by any Flames personnel that you talk to. There's just no reason. Guy had over 90 points last year in the Ontario Hockey
League. Led the OHL in assists. All players.
There is nothing left for him to accomplish there. Now, having said that, I'm a little less bullish in my percentages, and I do see a scenario where it's just, hey, you had a really, really good camp, and you probably deserve to be there. But go down to the American Hockey League, go down to the Wranglers, do it there for 40 games, and then we'll make room for you. I can see that scenario where you want to ease him in a little bit more than throwing him right to the NHL.
I'll say this. I don't know if it's a bold prediction, but I bet Brustevich gets a game or two in the NHL this year.
Yeah, I don't think that's bold at all.
This reads, so the superstar rookie last year was Connor Zary. What do you think is his ceiling? Will he eventually come close to the levels of Gaudreau, Tkachuk, or some of the other elite forwards that have come through Calgary? What is Zary's ceiling? My ceiling or my what I think is an attainable ceiling, I think he's a top everyday top six forward in this league, whether that's a winger or a center. For me, what I think would be most ideal and what I think is an attainable ceiling is that Zary is a very good number two center in this league. Do I think he's going to be of that elite number one line center variety? I don't know if I see that projecting that way, but I think he can be a very good number two center on this team going forward and a great guy to have in your top six, regardless whether he's playing left wing or down the middle. I think Zary, this is just me, and I hate putting ceilings on young guys, and I hope that he smashes through that ceiling. For me, I would say everyday top six NHL forward is where I see his attainable ceiling.
Yeah, for me, I see him as a second line forward, whether that's going to end up eventually being on the left wing or down the middle. I think that's a fair expectation to put on him after what we saw last season. And remember, going back to his junior days, he was a point per game player in Kamloops, had 86 points in 57 games the year he was drafted. Like, there is historically some things you can point to in his game that show that he has been a productive player at every level. He had 34 points in 63 games with the Flames last season. I can see a scenario where he's north of 60 year in, year out for a decade.
Flames Talk Mailbag is underway, a pre-training camp. Flames Talk Mailbag, get your questions in at 960-960. Lots still to get to, but you still have an opportunity to get your texts in. Put your name on it. We'll make sure that we get some more in. We'll try to get to as many as we can as this hour continues. If you're listening live, 960-960 on our pre-camp Flames Talk Mailbag. It's Aaron Vickers, Pat Steinberg. This hour of Flames Talk coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
This hour of Flames Talk rolls on with Steinberg and Vickers, and our Flames Talk mailbag remains wide open at 960-960. It's a pre-camp Flames Talk mailbag. Let's just keep it going. Questions at 960-960. Put your name on it if you want, so we can put a name to who's asking the question, and let's just keep them coming. We've had lots so far, and let's keep rolling on through, and there are plenty left in here. Let's start with Francesca, who says, Cole Schwint plays in a shutdown role on the Wranglers. Last year, the coaching staff explained this was because that's where they project he could play in the NHL. Is there any chance he could get a chance on that line with Backlund and Coleman this year? My amateur observation is that he's more effective in that spot than guys like Coronado or Pelche. Do I think that if he were to... I don't think Cole Schwint is likely to start in the NHL this year. And if he proves us wrong on that front, then that's awesome. Are you on the same page?
Yeah, tip of the cap to him if he does earn a spot coming out of training camp, but I don't project him to be.
But if at some point he's recalled and on the team, I could see him being on that line, sure. But the one area that I think is important to point out is I think Pelche is a guy who could very, very effectively slide into that role on the left side with Backlund and Coleman, because Pelche, and I keep going back to this, but he profiles very similarly to Andrew Mangiapane, and Mangiapane on that line was so good for so long. So, I think Mangiapane leaving opens up a full-time spot with Backlund and Coleman, and I think there'll be a rotation through the first few months of the season as to who's there. At some point in the second half of the season, if that spot settles on Jacob Pelche, I don't think that's a bad thing. In fact, I could absolutely see that happening.
No, I see Pelche's games. We'll talk about Pelche in particular. I see his game fitting better with Backlund and Coleman than I would a Schwint. And I like the fact that with Pelche, Coleman gets to stay on the right side. But if you're recalling Schwint, chances are, because he's a right shot, he'll move to the right wing and Blake Coleman will be on the left side. And I much prefer Coleman on the right. And in talking to Blake Coleman, I think I'm dipping back into the memory banks here. I don't think he necessarily has a firm preference, but from my perspective, I like him better on the right side. And for the reasons you mentioned in Pelletier profiling a lot like Andrew Mangiapane, I just see Pelletier's game translating there better than I would a Cole Schwind.
Scotty in Lethbridge says, guys, just one question. Who's got a better shot at a center spot on the Flames full time, Pospisil or Zeri? I'd personally like to see Pospisil being able to run around all over the ice, being responsible, of course. He brings an awesome toolbox with some still untapped skill. What do you think? If you were to ask me, I would go Zeri. But if I were to read the tea leaves on where the Flames are, I would say Pospisil's got the better shot between the two.
Yeah, if we're going back 5-6 months, I think even organizationally, the thought might have been Connor Zeri, but Martin Pospisil at the World Championship, at the Olympic qualifying for Slovakia, I think really opened some eyes. And in your conversation with Craig Conroy, in your conversation with Ryan Huska in particular, where he basically came out and said, yeah, we want to try Pospisil down the middle with Huberto and Mantha, and then he mentioned Zeri with Backlund and Coleman. Well, I don't imagine that Backlund's going to move to left wing on that line. So already sort of the lines that Ryan Huska is formulating in his head have Pospisil down the middle.
And that's not set in stone. And the other thing, here's one thing that is set in stone that Ryan Huska made abundantly clear and doubled down on in that chat was they want to try Pospisil at center.
That for sure.
Whether it's with Huberto and Mantha for a long period of time, or that's only a couple of days at training camp or at all, we'll see. But I think they're very adamant as to giving Pospisil a shot and a long look down the middle. That's not to say they won't do the same with Zeri, but I think Pospisil's they keep on going back to Pospisil when you have conversations over the summer.
Pospisil's been the headliner there, but in that same chat that you had with Huska, he identified Pospisil, Zeri, and Sharon Govich as guys that they're going to try down the middle. But yeah, back to your point, it seems like Pospisil is always at the forefront of that who are you going to play down the middle conversation.
This one from Kijiji and Forest Lawn says, who are we not talking enough about going into training camp?
Ooh.
My answer to that one is Sharon Govich. 30 goal scorer last year, and yet don't really seem to, like most people don't really seem to have a firm place for him, right? He finished last year on a line with Huberto and Zeri. He got shuffled around a little bit through the first month of the season, was on the wing, then he played fourth line center, and then he really started to pop, I want to say, in like late November, early December, when he got put back on the wing. He was on the right side with Huberto, and that really started to come along nicely. And by the end of the season, he was probably their most dynamic goal-scoring threat. I don't think we're talking enough about Sharon Govich in year two. He's got the new contract extension. He's coming off his best season of his career.
He's only 26.
What's to say that he can't build on that? I'll say Sharon Govich is the guy we're not talking enough about.
Sharon Govich is a really good answer. And I was kind of just looking through line combinations and trying to figure out who maybe is. And I'm going to go with Anthony Mantha, to be honest with you. One, because maybe he's the newest addition to that forward group. Him and Longberg, of course, signing as unrestricted free agents. This is a player that scored at a 24-goal pace over his NHL career with 142 goals in 494 games. And he's an interesting add, and I think to a certain degree he made Andrew Mangiapane expendable. Now I know one happened before the other, but you just sort of looked at the logjam there, and it allowed the Calgary Flames to go out and get an Anthony Mantha. I don't necessarily think he's been linked with Jonathan Huberto a fair bit, and I don't know if it's a fair expectation to put on Mantha to be the guy that jumpstarts Jonathan Huberto. But I'm just curious to see Mantha's progression and how he looks in a Calgary Flames jersey.
Kevin and Carstairs, do you also think the coaching staff has something to prove also? I'm not convinced the system is one that'll provide adequate opportunity. The power play itself was dismal, so I think for the players to be able to play better, I believe the coaching staff needs to ensure they're putting the proper players together in the proper system. Yes, the players need to prove themselves and perform, but sometimes you're only as good as the system and the people around you. Well, first of all, new coach on the power play. It did not work with Savard. I think we are very well aware of that. So I'm curious as to how the power play looks with Cale Maclean and a full season, at least a start, of Andre Kuzmenko, who really kick-started that power play in the back 15 games.
Fifth in the NHL from March 1st onward at 27.1. That was 23 games.
So the final quarter of the season.
A decent chunk.
And Kuzmenko was the largest reason why, I believe, that all of a sudden had some success. Do I think the coaching staff has something to prove? Yes, but I don't think that they're on the hot seat. And I know that Craig Conroy looks at this coaching staff and Ryan Huska specifically as, and he said this publicly, I know that the hope is that they're able to grow together. And so that, you know, when it's time for both their contracts to get renewed in just over a year's time or just under a year's time, they kind of get renewed together. And I know that Craig wants Huska to be along for the ride with him. And I know Ryan wants to be like, I don't think that the coaching staff is on the hot seat. I really don't. Because everybody understands that this is a new direction for the team. So do they have something to prove? Yeah, sure. Power play needs to be better. I think there were some difficulties adjusting to some systematic changes last year. And Ryan Huska even admitted that to us when he joined us at the end of the season last year. He said, I actually, one thing that surprised me, I was a little caught off guard as to how long it took for that adjustment. Maybe I should have given that more consideration that it might take longer than I thought, so on and so forth. So something to prove? Yes, but I would say yes-ish.
Yeah, I agree with you. And your way of framing it is perfect from my perspective, where you have a second-year coach on a team that didn't qualify for the playoffs. There's always going to be something to prove with that formula. But at the same time, if the Calgary Flames get off to another 3-7-1 start, I don't think it's Ryan Huska's job that's going to be the result of a slow start. This is a situation where that's the perfect way to kind of look at it. They want to grow together. They want the coaching staff and the players to grow together. Something to prove always when you're a rookie head coach transitioning into his second year or a new coaching staff transitioning into their second year. But this doesn't strike me as a hot seat situation like you mentioned.
Here's Colin in Woodbine. Boys, Andrew Bascha had a good showing in Penticton. My question is, how long of a look do you think he gets in camp, and how early do you see him making the team? I agree. I thought Bascha had a nice showing in Penticton. I know he was a standout for you.
He was my favorite from the 2024 class.
Do I think he gets a few preseason games, you know, maybe gets halfway through camp, halfway through the preseason. I could absolutely see that being the case. I still think he's a couple of years away from being on an NHL roster, though, being on a Flames roster.
Yeah, and that's no indictment on Andrew Bascha. It's just the regular development curve of an 18-year-old. And look at the situation he's going back to. The Medicine Hat Tigers are going to be an absolute wagon in the Western Hockey League, and that's where you want Andrew Bascha. And it makes me wonder how long he'll stick around, because if the sooner you get him back to Medicine Hat, the sooner he gets acclimatized to the expectation and everything that's going to be going on just south of us, because they have the potential to be the best team in the Canadian Hockey League and a Memorial Cup candidate. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an environment that benefits Bascha from a development perspective as well, as much as being around for an extra 3 or 4 days in training camp is a learning tool for Bascha. Going back and settling in as one of the leaders on arguably the best team in the Canadian Hockey League is a great situation.
This one comes from Brad, who says, is there a breakout star in this year's lineup? I will answer yes, and it's Matt Coronato.
Yeah,
even though I don't know exactly where Coronato is going to start the year or how he's going to fit to start the year, but I will say yes, I think Coronato, and I guess it depends on what your definition of star is, but I think Coronato takes some big steps. I think that shot, I think that he's physically taken some big steps over the summer. I could see Matty challenging in the 20-goal range this year. I really could. So I will say Coronato would be the guy if anybody were to qualify in that realm.
I'll echo the Coronato because he's the most likely in my mind, and I'll throw in just a bonus William Stromgren, who Craig Conroy has called a couple of times the player that has made the most strides year over year in his development, and he reiterated to me in Penticton as well that Stromgren is a player that he expects to push for games right out of camp.
You can't choose Stromgren as your answer for
everything.
Everything, okay? Landon says...
You can't skip lunch.
Hey. There's lots of different things. Not everybody knows how to do everything. Landon says, who has the best lottery odds for 2025? St. Louis, Minnesota, Calgary, Seattle, or Arizona?
Well, not Arizona. But I'm assuming Utah.
Utah, sorry.
But I actually like Utah this year, so I wouldn't even put them in that conversation. I'm fine with going back to the San Jose road, to be honest with you.
St. Louis, Minnesota, Calgary,
I can only
Seattle.
Pick those teams?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Five teams.
You
can't choose William Stromgren for this.
William Stromgren. Amongst those teams? Who are you going with?
Honestly, of those five, I mean, I'm not as big on Arizona as you are. So I think the two teams would be Calgary or Arizona for Calgary or Utah for me. Those would be the two. I know Utah's made some big additions.
I also think just the cloud removing from atop their heads will benefit them. So of those teams, I would pick Calgary.
Yeah, I think I probably would too. Ray in Tuscany. Who and in what order will the top three point getters be this season? I will go Kadri, one. Sharon Govich, two. Huberto, three.
Ooh.
And that, I could see Huberto had 52 last year.
Now,
if Huberto can get himself into the 60-point range, he'll be a top three scorer on this team this year. So I'll go Kadri, one. Sharon Govich, two, which is exactly the way it went last year. I do think Huberto's got the chance to take a little bit of a step forward point-wise. Again, to suggest he's going to get back to 95 or 100 or 115, that's probably a little lofty the way things have gone. Be great if it happened, obviously. I'll say Huberto 3, and Zeri finishes 4.
I'm going to go Kadri, Kuzmenko, Sharon Govich.
Okay.
And I wanted to ask you why you didn't pick Kuzmenko is because you think he gets dealt too quickly? Not too quickly, but...
I just don't think he'll be on the team to finish the year. And thus...
You know what? Yeah, that technicality got me there. So maybe I would bump out Kuzmenko. I think when you go back and look at the stats from the season, Kuzmenko would rank in the top three. But based on still having to be on the roster at the conclusion of the season, I don't see that happening for Kuzmenko.
Here's Trevor in Sundance. If Perek's clearly a top four D-man in camp, do you think they'll have him start the year with the team or just give him another year to marinate?
100%. If he's a top four defenseman on the Calgary Flames, he's playing games and he's getting a long look. And wouldn't shock me at all if he went beyond that 9-game mark, if he is still proving he's a top four defenseman. And if he falls off after that, that 9-game mark doesn't mean that you can't be sent back to junior at any point.
It just means your entry level deal goes.
Yeah, exactly.
But you don't earn a year towards unrestricted free agency until you play in your 40th game. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, if there's no reason if Perek is one of your top four guys,
you know, even if
plays
he's one
games.
Of, even if he's one of your top six guys, yeah. I think he'll start the season with the team. If he is and he proves that, I think he'll get into games and get that 9-game look. And if that 9-game look, it's like, you know what? Now that things have ramped up to regular season, he's just a little off it. Easily send him back to junior, gets his 9 games in. We've seen that plenty before. But if he's one of the top four or six guys in camp, I'm with you 100%. He would be in the opening day lineup for sure. I don't think that they would have any hesitation.
You'd have to. Like, you can't preach giving kids opportunity, and if a kid beats out a vet, the kid's getting the job, and then have your number 9 pick from the most recent draft show that he's better than the likes of Pahal, Bean, Ball, for example, Hanley, Solovyov, so on and so forth. You have to give him the opportunity to show over an extended period of time if he can maintain that level.
This from Mike on the island. Mike on an island in Lake of the Woods. Oh, out by Kenora. Okay. Mike asks, when the Flames are mathematically eliminated from the playoffs in January, who's the first player they jettison? Well, I guarantee you they won't be mathematically eliminated by January.
No.
I believe that is actually impossible. Maybe not impossible, but you'd have to win 0 games to be mathematically eliminated in January. But if they are way back and it's clear they're not going to be a playoff team in January, first player that they trade, Kuzmenko.
And just to be different, I'll go Mantha. Both pending unrestricted free agents at the end of the season that don't necessarily fit your long-term plan.
Christopher in Calgary, who do you think will be the guys on the top power play unit this year, and do you think they'll manage to improve on last year's terrible performance? That's from Christopher in Southwood. I think it'll be Kadri, Huberdeau, Uyghur.
Kuzmenko.
Huberdeau. Did I say Huberdeau?
You said Huberdeau.
Kadri,
yeah.
Huberdeau, Uyghur, Kuzmenko, and Zeri. Sharangovich. Yep. Sharangovich, Huberdeau, Kadri, Kuzmenko, Uyghur, I think will be the five on the top power play unit. Put in Zeri and Backlund, maybe Coleman, Miramanov and Rasmus Anderson on the second power play unit could cycle in.
I see Mantha getting power play
time there,
too.
I could cycle in a Mantha in there. I could cycle in a Coleman in there. So there's some other names that you could put on the second power play unit. But yeah, those five, which are the five that ended last year on the power play, Kuzmenko, Kadri, Huberdeau, Sharangovich, Uyghur, those are the five. And I do think that they'll be able to improve on their numbers from last year, just based solely on what they did at the end of last season.
Well, in even highlighting the fact that they were fifth from March 1 onward, that 23-game sample, you include that sample, and over 82, they were still 26 overall. So as hot as they were to end the season, they had a lot of ground to make up.
A couple more rapid fire. TJ and Cardston, does Kevin Ball make the top six opening night? I haven't heard anybody talk about him. Yes, I think he does.
Yep.
I think Ball's one of your six defensemen, whether he's playing with Rasmus Anderson, whether he's playing with Mackenzie Uyghur, whether he's playing with Braden Paul, whatever the case may be, Tyson Berry. I think that he's in the opening night lineup as one of your 60.
Absolutely. I don't disagree at all.
You know what? That's probably a good place to stop. That's a good way to wrap it up.
All right. Let's get this thing going.
Pretty good. We'll do another one right before the start of the regular season, but a pretty good way to kick off training camp with a pre-camp Flames Talk mailbag. Thanks for all of your input at 960-960. Again, we'll do another mailbag just before the start of the regular season and start previewing it that way. Thanks for your input. That'll start to wrap us up this hour on Flames Talk. As training camp starts officially on Thursday morning, we'll have all kinds of training camp coverage on day one from Thursday at a Winsport and into Friday, Saturday, and then, of course, on Sunday, it is preseason game number one from Seattle. Aaron Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers. Thanks to Cam and Connor, our producers this hour. This hour of Flames Talk wrapping up. It's been the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.